What's up, guys? I'm Cora.
And I'm Sharon.
And this is Learning on the Job, a podcast for moms.
Join us as we talk about our highs and lows and everything in between on this journey of motherhood.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Learning on the Job. It was Easter this weekend, so I know that we had a little Easter get together here with our family. How did you guys do, Sharon?
We did good. We had a small get together, or like it was not even a get together. It was just me and Jake.
Yeah, like, same. I don't know. We just did a little Easter thing, I guess, you know, like gave her the basket and everything. I saw that you guys did like a little egg hunt also though.
Yeah, so we had originally bought eggs for Jenny, and we bought just 12 eggs, but we ended up sending those to daycare with her because they did a little egg parade at daycare where all the kids walked around the school and teachers put eggs in their basket. So she took those to school, and we got to keep all the eggs from the egg parade, so then we just ended up using all of those eggs for our little egg hunt. And I literally just put Puffs, Goldfish, and Animal Crackers in her eggs. And she loved the egg hunt. She thought it was the best time of her life because she got to walk around the front yard. She got to pick up eggs. And whenever she picked up the last one, she was kind of upset that there was no more. She's looking around and pointing at other yards like, is there more over there? Like, let's go look.
That's funny.
But we went inside and we gave her the basket of eggs and we dumped all of the contents out into another basket. And that's pretty much what she snacked on all day. And she had fun. She got to sit there and she was taking the eggs apart and putting them back. And she really enjoyed it. So we even did a second egg hunt with just the empty eggs later in the afternoon. Because she liked it so much.
Well, that's fun. I'm glad that you guys had a good time.
Yeah. Was there anything else that y'all did? Anything else that stood out?
No. So, you know, Chris works on Sundays, so we waited until he got home from work to do her Easter basket and everything. And I had already done, like, my family did their Easter a little bit early because usually we have it at my cousin's house, but they're having a baby. They actually had a baby the last week of March. So we did our big Easter thing at, like, the beginning of March so that, you know, everybody could be there and we could still do it at their house and everything. So she did her little Easter egg hunt then, and because she was the youngest, she got to be, like, the first to go, and everybody had so much fun helping her and watching her, and she enjoyed it a lot. So our Easter this year was just kind of low-key, but we had a good time. We were going to go to an egg hunt also in my new neighborhood, but it was on Friday and the rain just kind of made it get canceled. So unfortunately, that didn't get to happen. But they're gonna do a makeup of some sort in the future. So hopefully, we'll get to go to that.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. We went to one of the egg hunts that they did at TLU. It was just for faculty and staff kids, and that was Jenny's first egg hunt that she ever did, and it was really interesting because we went and Jenny was the smallest one there, and I knew that was probably going to happen, but whenever they said go, I was holding her and I walked us, like I took her over to a spot where all the kids didn't run to so that she could at least have a chance to pick up eggs, and whenever I sat her down, she just kind of stood there and she was mesmerized, just kind of distracted, watching all the other kids run around doing stuff. And I picked an egg up and I tried to give it to her and I said, here, like, put it in your basket. And she just held it and just looked around. And all the student workers, all the RAs, like, they were trying to help her and give her eggs to put in her basket. She ended up just sitting down. And then they felt so bad, like they didn't want her to miss out, so they would run out and grab eggs for her and bring them back. And she was just so excited, like they just put them on the ground in front of her, and then she would pick them up and put them in her basket. And she got a good amount, like she filled up her basket with Easter eggs, and we got more candy than we needed. But it was really cute, and it was really nice of them to do that. like we didn't need a bunch of eggs, but they didn't want her to miss out. So that was a lot of fun.
Well, good. I'm glad that you guys had a good time.
Yeah.
So, I guess since the last time we had an episode, that was right before we were going to get the keys to our new house. So we finally were able to get in and see it, you know, because every time we'd seen it before, it had been with the previous owner's stuff in it and everything. So it was nice. We've been very anxious to see what it was going to be like without everything in there. And, you know, we're a little worried because, you know, just with that kind of situation, I felt like I wasn't really sure what we had gotten ourselves into. But honestly, the house is in really good shape. So there's a little bit of work that we have to do. We've done a lot of cleaning so far. Not that it was super dirty, but, you know, we just felt like better making sure that it's just completely cleaned out and that's like no remnants of people that used to live here. So been like getting scuff marks off the walls and little things like that. And then we're gonna do some paint touch-ups, and especially in the playroom. Claire's playroom needs the most work, so we'll do a little bit of paint in there. And then eventually we'll redo the floors because they're only like partially done. There's like a little bit of like wood paneling, but
I think I saw your like your pictures or video of it.
Yeah. And so yeah, that part we'll eventually do, but it's just like not a priority right now. So for the time being, I got like a bunch of foam pads like to put on the ground. So I'll put all the furniture around and then whatever free, because it's like concrete there, so I want to put something down. So got foam pads and rugs and stuff like that, so that'll kind of fill the playroom space in the meantime. So really excited about that. And Claire loves her new room. Every time she walks in it, she like applauds and is so excited. I think she just like loves that it's literally pink from like the ceiling to the floor. So and they left a lot of stuff like curtains and stuff like that, so they left this like cute purple curtain in there, so probably just gonna leave that up because I think that we're kind of going for, I don't know, my thought at first was kind of like a unicorn vibe, but really I think it'll just kind of be a little just like whimsical girly type of vibe since it's already so pink and everything. And
Yeah,
so we're really excited about it. Basically have, I mean, we don't have the whole house to pack up here, but we do have quite a bit. So especially like in the room I'm in now, which is my office, this room basically needs to be completely packed up. But I've been doing so many art projects for the Taylor Swift concert that I haven't wanted to pack this room up because I'm like constantly using stuff in and out of here. So I'm almost finished with everything, just to get everything completely done so that I can go ahead and get this room packed up and get going. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Me too.
Yeah, I think I've made all of my friendship bracelets that I'm going to make.
Oh, really?
For the concert. I think I made about 30, and that's including the few that I want to wear myself. But I'm going to have to, I know that there's one for sure that I made for myself that I want to wear, but I don't, there's a few others that I really like, but at the same time I'm like, I kind of want to give those away because they're really cool, but I kind of want to keep them.
Right. Yeah.
So I can't decide.
I've actually, that's one of the things I've been slacking on the most is my friendship bracelets. I've only made like 10 so far. I got them in my lover, or this little house. I'm just keeping them here. But I have bought a bunch of stuff for them. Like, I got this cute little thing.
I have that literal exact set.
Oh, really? Yeah, I got this one on Amazon. But I have a ton of them. And then I got more shit from Walmart and Dollar Tree recently. So I plan on hunkering down. And yeah, I want to make at least 30 because I want a few to wear. But I don't need too many to wear because I'm already going to be wearing like long sleeves. So
yeah, that was my thing too. It's like, I'm going to wear long sleeves. And so then I'm not really going to take a purse. I pretty much told you that I bought a phone case and I'm just going to put my wallet or all my stuff in there. And then I can wear my phone across my body, so I'm not really having to carry it and worry. But then with the bracelets, I'm just going to wear them on my arms or maybe just, like, slip them onto the phone case where it hooks. But I've seen a lot of videos that some people said that they saw a bunch of people trading bracelets, and then some people said that they didn't really see anyone trading bracelets. So I think you just kind of have to find the crowds that are doing it.
Well, and I think it's more like, also I've just seen a lot of, it's like, well, if you want it to happen, you just like, you look for people that are wearing the bracelets, and you just have to go up to them and be like, hey, do you want to trade bracelets? And, you know, most of the time, if somebody is already wearing bracelets, they know what you're talking about. That it's like a thing that people are trying to do and whatnot. So
they say I'm hopeful. Find the crowds, find the people wearing them. And then a lot of people are actually just giving them away, which I planned to do anyway. Like if I really like somebody's outfit, I'll give them a bracelet, especially if I have one that goes with that era.
That was exactly what I was thinking too. It's like, especially if I have a cute one and you're wearing something cute, be like, here, I want you to have this. And I also, okay, so I showed you the glasses and I told you my idea, which also, by the way, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter that are going in from Houston that are making bracelets. So I'm hopeful that that will be a thing. But so I've got three pairs of heart-shaped glasses. So I've got this pair, this pink pair, and then I also have this purple pair, and I think I'm gonna wear the purple pair and then put stuff on the pink one. That's kind of what I thought, unless you want to wear the pink pair. I don't know.
Well, the black will probably go with my outfit more.
That's what I think. Just have, but yeah, so I want to put like, do like those videos that I saw where, you know, we put like Houston night 3 or Houston 423 or whatever, and then just see people that are wearing cool outfits and ask them.
Well, you should definitely put a 13 on the glasses, because like the video that you sent me, that's the 13th night of the tour, or the 13th night of the tour.
Basically the 13th night of the tour, because it's like actual tour night. That's so cool. So definitely we'll have to do something cool like that, but
I think that's cool that we didn't even plan that, and
I know it just happened that,
that
way.
Works
serendipity. But it's my hope that, you know, we will be able to, meet other like-minded people and like, you know, just, it'll be a fun time and, you know, make friends with people that obsess over stuff like we do. And
yeah. And one thing that we're going to have to think about and probably do in advance, I've seen a lot of people say, like, since the set is so long, you're going to be hungry after the concert. We need to make sure that we have snacks in my car for whenever we get back to the car to drive home. So we don't have to stop anywhere. And some people say it still takes about like 1 to 2 hours just to get out of the parking lot.
Yeah, that is my fear. On the road. Hopefully, it depends on, you know, where we get to park. Hopefully we find good parking. That's my only hang up about like wanting to get there like early, is to make sure that we find parking and that we're not like driving around looking for a place to park your car and then Uber there or whatever, you know.
So. Well, and I'm going to try and do some research, because I've only ever driven to NRG for the rodeo, and the lots are kind of set up differently for the rodeo in the sense that you have to have a parking pass. So I haven't driven in all the lots. Like, you don't have to have a parking pass for the Taylor Swift concert.
But no, like, it's like rodeo, a flat.
You have to have one.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, I haven't been in all the parking lots. And
so you gotta look at a map or something.
Yeah, I need to look at a map. And then I also need to look to see where our, like, what gate our seats are on and where we're going to be coming from. Because I need to make sure that we try to park near our gate so we don't have to walk too far. Or if I'd be perfectly fine walking farther and parking closer to the road that we're going to need to be on to leave. Because I'm perfectly fine parking towards the exit and just walking farther.
Me too.
No matter what, it's going to be hard to get out of the parking lot.
I agree.
And so one thing that I guess they're not doing it because I think this is only a rodeo thing, but whenever I would go with my friend Kelsey, we would always park in this parking lot, and it was called Reed Road because it's off of Reed Road and everything. But it's a huge parking lot, and they just have shuttles that take you over there. And I've heard no one talk about that. I've heard people talk about the parking lots and then the bus system in Houston itself. And I don't want to do that because I feel like everybody's going to try and do that. And I think it'd be harder for us to go to downtown than to
find parking. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. That's the only thing I've heard too is the shuttle bus, but I haven't heard anything about that. But maybe, yeah, maybe we should do more research into that or look into it. It'll one good thing is we're going the last night, so they will have the kinks worked out a little bit better. And I'm hopeful, like, not that I don't want her show to be at capacity because I think it will still be like pretty much sold out, but like I'm hoping that since it's the third night that it's like the chiller night, like, so that hopefully, not that I want it to be like fun time inside, but just like the getting inside, like I'm hoping it's more of a well-oiled machine at that point.
Have you heard anything of how the third night in Arlington went?
I heard it was horrendous. So actually but only here's the thing. From what
Feel like the
I
merch had a lot to do with that, though.
well I don't know. I think maybe it was just a combination of like things being hard the rest of the week, but I guess I don't know if they were understaffed or if it was because of the rain or what, but essentially what I gathered is a lot of people reported that they didn't check people in. Like they were not even checking tickets, they were not even checking bags. Like they turned off the metal detectors. So and they were just like getting people in, like, because they just so and people were getting in quickly. That's such a dangerous situation. Like you have no idea what could have happened. So and then it's like possible that people were getting in there and like didn't even pay for the concert, which honestly to me that's whatever. But like I don't know. That's just not a safe situation. So I don't necessarily want that, but I would like for, you know, it's just to be like, okay, it's the last night. We worked out the kinks, the first two, and let's just get the show on the road and finish out
I will
strong.
say one thing I heard is that because I don't know how all the other venues are set up, I only know what NRG looks like, but NRG supposedly released a statement saying that when the merch truck arrives and opens, you cannot access it and buy merch unless you have a ticket.
That's good. I know that they were trying to change rules because people were getting crazy with the merch. They were like camping out for
Like Suitcase
hours.
Girl.
Yeah, and then buying stuff, like going there just to buy stuff to like post on eBay, which is ridiculous. Yeah, so I'm glad that
They're
they're
gonna be
doing
sad
things to
whenever
stop
nobody's
that.
gonna pay those ridiculous prices
Yeah,
for it.
well, that's the part I just don't get. It's like, why are people doing this? Like, I understand that Taylor Swift is a very like hot topic, like trending celebrity right now, and like her, you know, her fame has only skyrocketed even more lately. But there are very, very, very few people in the world that can afford and want that stuff that much. Like, I mean, maybe you're seeing like people, like rich people from other countries that are willing to pay those prices because it's like inaccessible to them because she only does stuff in America. But I mean, other than that, like, I don't know.
Well, and I also think it's stupid. Like, it's one thing, I don't agree with this type of stuff, but it's one thing to buy something and mark it up. It's another thing to mark it up like 10 times the cost.
Yeah,
Like,
I mean, I agree. I feel like her merchandise for concerts, it's really not any higher than most other performers right now. I think it's all too high in my opinion, but I would much rather just get the same crew neck off of somebody on Etsy that made it like in their house
like that's what you and I
personally.
said we were gonna do is just look on Etsy, see what they're doing. And then too, a lot of people are even saying if she does what she did with Reputation, a lot of the merch will probably be put on the website after the
Eventually,
tour
anyways.
anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I'm not really that worried about it. Like, if there was merch, I've gotten a lot of merch before, and if there was something I ever wanted, I just like waited long enough and it went on sale. So, and I already got one shirt, which I'm gonna wear to the concert, and I think it's cute. So, I mean, whatever.
I have that butterfly shirt with all of the arrows on it.
Yeah, that's cute.
And so I really like that. And then I do want to get a sweatshirt or something, but I'll just get one off of eBay, or not eBay, off of Etsy, because I've definitely seen a lot of really cute designs on there. The only thing, like, I saw one, the one that you sent, where it was kind of like the sweatshirt I already have, where she's standing in each of the eras. The only reason I don't want that one is because it doesn't have debut on it. And that's just because, like, she didn't have a separate outfit for
well, it's because
debut at the
I think that's an unfortunate just representation of this tour, is debut is very seldomly, like, represented on it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't understand it completely, but at least there's only one song for Speak Now, and that, like, is for Y as well. But at least she gets, like, a pretty dress in that moment, and she's, like, beautiful. But, yeah, I don't really know. I do think that there is actually, like, the green outfit, though, that she wears when she does, like, the surprise songs, which is how most of the debut songs have made it onto the tour. I feel like that should have been added to that shirt, and then it would have been perfect.
Agreed. That's what I was thinking, is, like, even if it was just something like that to represent it.
Yeah.
Because you could even say, like, you're just representing the, like, just the bonus songs or whatever.
I'm just hoping that other people see that idea and take off with it and make another variation of it. Because there's a ton of people that have made, like, the eras, like, variations, you know, especially because a lot of people didn't like the
Taylor Swift merch.
Well, yeah, the ones that she chose, like, the designs that she chose for, like, the Midnight's Girl on her shirt, people aren't really big fans of it. So a lot of people have done, like, other representations, like, where she's wearing that, like, outfit she wore, the blue thing with the stars on it, and, you know, that one's a big one, and I don't know, I've seen some others.
Well, then
like,
the quality, too, has just not been very good. Like, there's a girl, I'm sure you've seen her, but there's multiple people, like, that have been posting videos on TikTok about how they've been washing their shirt. And this one girl, she said, I think she said that Taylor's team is actually going to send her a new one because hers just faded so much after one wash. And since it's already faded, she's just washing it more just to see how much it would fade. And she's not doing anything drastic to it.
No, I know. I've seen little, you know, mass produce them in a jiffy, and I guess a lot of them, like, didn't dry properly or something. A lot of people have had to take, like, parchment paper to them and then, like, an iron over top to, like, seal the design in more so that it doesn't fade out. So I, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
but I'm really excited for the concert. However, it's crazy, I don't know, weird and crazy to me that it's, like, I don't know, it just feels different going to this concert now knowing that she's a single woman. Like, I don't know, it's like I'm almost envious of the people that got to, like, hear Lover and think that they were hearing her sing it as, like, a woman that was, like, in this, like, relationship where she felt those things and everything, and, like, whatever the reasons that are that they broke up, which obviously I've seen, like, a million articles come out about it, and I don't know what's true and what's not, but assuming, you know, it is all just, like, an amicable thing where they just, like, didn't work out and it just wasn't meant to be. It still just is so sad for me to, like, I don't know, especially because I still have, like, my person that I relate to those songs for, and I always, like, related to her life because I always felt like our lives were kind of in sync, like, whatever was going on in my life was going on in her life, and then she'd write songs about it, and I'd relate to them, and now, I don't know, it's just a weird feeling, like, in a weird, almost, I know it's, like, a parasocial thing, but it's still, I don't know.
Did you happen to watch the TikTok I sent you right before we got on here?
I didn't. I saw it, but I was like, oh, no, I don't have time for that. I'm going to have to watch it later. But so, I actually scrolled past it earlier today because I was like, I don't have the capacity for this.
So I can give you a little bit of the rundown and then you can go watch it later.
Okay.
But essentially, this guy is saying that Glitch is kind of foreshadowing the breakup. Not like she knew they were going to break up, but that Glitch is talking about more of how, like, there's something wrong, like, something going on, something's not right, and you're wanting to go back to being, like, where you were at this time or
something. I think there's been a glitch.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll go watch it and then listen to the song and see what my thoughts are on that.
Yeah. I didn't have time to listen to the song because I literally saw it right before we were getting on, so I'm going to do that after we're finished recording. But he was like, there's parallels, like, you can definitely see that she's talking about Joe and how, like, she's referencing their relationship, but then she also like people, she also mentioned stuff in other songs of Midnight's that in the comments people are literally saying that Midnight's is a breakup album.
Well, I've seen that to it, I've seen that too, and it's funny to me because I mean I would assume that Midnight's was written in 2021/2022, so I don't really know how much of like their relationship was going bad at that time. I mean, they made it sound also like everything was good up until a couple of months ago. So,
well, and that I mean, seems... like what you and I talked about the other day, I could definitely see if they're like if they weren't in a bad relationship, but like if things started just getting rocky because like just life events happening in general.
I agree, and I wonder. You know, now people are going back and saying like, oh, this song was about Joe, this one, and I'm like, I don't know about all that. However, there are some songs that I'm listening to with a different ear now and wondering if maybe there was maybe some like resentment earlier on or fears also, fears that, you know, maybe I do think that the fame thing and the fact that she was just rising more and more to fame over their relationship, like, I do think that that did start to have a strain, and, you know, it was always a fear that she had, and she, like, vocalized that in her songs over and over and over, but also, you know, I think there might have been other strains, like, and I hear, like, Bejeweled, for instance, and I don't know what, like, if I just thought that it was, like, a cheeky song that she wrote that it didn't necessarily mean anything, but now I'm listening to it again, and I'm like, I wonder if there was, like, some strife there, though, and she was, like... Don't forget that I can just go out and say that I, you know, I don't have no man. and seeing her go out last night, you know, I literally was like, oh, and by the way, I'm going out tonight. Like, that's just, I don't know.
Well, and there was something like in the video that I sent you, he also mentioned, I can't think of the name of the song off the top of my head, but like, what did she, not necessarily cheat on Joe, but did she start maybe having feelings for somebody else, like where she just didn't feel like she was fully in this relationship anymore? Because in another song she references do I have a boyfriend, I don't remember, and some things like that. And
oh yeah, that was Bejeweled.
Okay, so yeah. So just like making little references like that, people are saying like, was she just starting to just not feel like she was in it fully? And I don't know, I definitely agree that I'm listening to some of this stuff with a different ear now, but I could definitely see how there could be a strain on the relationship with like all the references that she makes to everybody speculating about her getting married and pretty much just saying that she needs to move forward with her life. Like, I even saw a comment on something today, like, on there was an article on Facebook that popped up talking about their breakup, and I didn't even read the article because I was like, Taylor Swift didn't say anything, so I'm not even gonna read it. But I went straight to the comment, and straight up, like, the top comment on there when I clicked on it, it said, she better watch herself and be careful if she's going to turn out and end up like an old spinster or something, like all by herself or whatever. And everybody was like, what's wrong with that? Why?
Like, she doesn't have to be with someone. Like, she can be alone if that's what she wants to do. Like,
yeah. And
from what they said today, then, like, in one of the articles that came out, I don't know if it's true, but it said that she was the one that initiated the breakup. So, I mean, her team seems to be working hard to like, control the narrative here. And then her going out last night tells me that, you know, I just feel like she was showing that she wanted to be seen and that she's fine.
Yeah. So. My dad, he commented about, or he asked me about it or whatever, and my dad said that, he said something about how, like, Taylor is going to comment on it or whatever. And I was like, no, she doesn't ever really comment on her relationship. Like, people only ever know if she's in one or out of one based on if she's holding hands with somebody else or if her team, like, if she lets her team release something or through her songs or whatever. Like, sometimes she'll make comments here and there, but she's not going to straight up say, we broke up.
Yeah, like, she's not like that.
Like, she...
It'll just come out in the papers, and she'll just be quiet about it. And she might do some sort of, like... I don't know, make some sort of statement without making it, like, you know, walk out, like, she normally never gets paparazzi'd, but, like, she made sure to get papped this time, like,
yeah,
looking cute, like, you know, like, that's her way of making a statement.
But I'm sure you were just loving to see what all the Gaylors have to say about this.
Yeah, they're just, like, this inappropriate part of the internet that I don't know. I try not to speculate about her life in general, and it may sound hypocritical because it's like, what does it sound like I'm sitting here doing? But I'm trying to only comment specifically on stuff that's been, like, released by sources close to her, and just commenting on the fact that she was out in public yesterday. What they do is, I don't know, spin a narrative. It's kind of weird. They just, yeah, I don't know. And they are, like, celebrating this, and then they're mm-hmm. just saying that the entire thing was a PR stunt, and I'm just, it.
A PR stunt doesn't last 6 years.
Yeah, it's very strange. I don't know. But then if you try and talk about them, then they'll tell you that you're, like, homophobic, which it's just, like, okay. It is not appropriate to, whether you think it's true or not, like, speculate about someone's sexuality on the internet. And it is not appropriate, like, to, like, what are you trying to, or if you're really a fan, like, what do you think is going to become of this? Like, by making content yeah. about it, making, you know, people, like, talk about it. And it's like, in the best case scenario, you, like, force her to come out and confirm it, like, and so even if it's true, like, it can't even be on her terms. And
well, she's even come out and denied it multiple times already. Like, she's told people no.
Yeah, she's, like, said it in certain ways, and they're like, no, she didn't mean that. They're like, oh, but this, she means it like this. Like, you just have to know what she means without her saying it. And I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. But, yeah, I just honestly am trying so hard not to give them, like, any attention, because I don't have the capacity for it anymore. And they're going to think whatever they're going to think. So I'm just hoping that people will stop paying attention to them, because I do worry that that is also a contributing factor yeah. to, like, why, like, Taylor's life is harder.
I will say, like, when I first was introduced to, like, those theories, I can see some of the evidence that they're drawing from. But at the same time, like, I'm not sitting here, I did not think that whenever I first, like, heard those songs or saw those pictures or anything. Like, that's not what I was thinking of. So hearing their theories, I'm like, okay, I can kind of see where you're getting that. But I'm with you. Like, I'm not going to sit here and entertain the thought or speculate on it or...
Yeah, I mean, you can,
whether it's right or wrong, like,
you can relate to something. That's one of the great things about Taylor's music, is, like, you can relate to it through a lot of different ways. Like, you don't, it's not just, like, about, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be all about heterosexual relationships, but that doesn't mean that just because you feel that way, you know, Taylor's automatically gay. That's just weird.
Yeah. Okay. So switching over to a different fandom. There's a lot going on in the Harry Potter world as well.
Oh, is there? I haven't heard about yes. that.
Oh, let me tell you.
What's going on?
So you, like, you're a fan, you know the books, movies, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, we've talked about that. Okay. So first off, if anybody wants to, you can go check out Harry Potter and the Half Drunk podcast. They just released an episode this week, and they talk a lot about some of this stuff as well. So if you want some more context, a lot of what I say is probably going to be repetition of what they say, because I share a lot of the same views. And it's just more content if you want to hear more of what they're saying. But supposedly they are talking about wanting to do a new series on HBO.
Okay, I have heard about that. Okay, sorry, go on.
Yeah, so it's just redoing the Harry Potter movies, but each book being a different season.
Mm-hmm.
The
series, so what do you think about that?
the series isn't old enough to do that.
I do agree with that. I think that it's definitely not old enough for that. I think that that shouldn't be something that comes out until, like, our kids are in high school, personally.
Exactly. Like, we're not, we are the target demographic of when Harry Potter first came out. And we are not old. Daniel Radcliffe, who is Harry Potter, like, this is something that they talked about on the Harry Potter podcast, where, like, he is our generation's Harry Potter. If you look at him, like, you think Harry Potter. Same thing with Emma Watson and Rupert Grint. You think of them as their characters, not Emma Watson as Beauty from Beauty and the Beast. Like, you don't reference her with that. So you have to wait until she's older for a new kid to step into that. And then, too, you're going to be putting another kid through all of what Daniel Radcliffe had gone through. Like, these three actors have gone through so much trying to separate themselves from Harry Potter, because it's done. Like, they can't just live off of that forever.
I agree. I think that, for one, HBO, that's something that I've noticed that they're doing a lot lately, like fast-tracking reboots and things. Both Gossip Girl and Pretty Little Liars have already gotten reboots, and these were shows that one has ended since I have been, you know, in a relationship with Chris, which is, like, we've been together for less than 7 years. And Gossip Girl ended when I was in college. So it's just, mm-hmm. like, it hasn't been long enough. Like, these, the characters, I mean, are still, like, culturally relevant. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, some of the actors are also, like, that's what they're known for. So it's just, like, it's way too soon to release new things. But, like, in that same universe. But I also have, mm-hmm. just feel like, the people that are behind Harry Potter just want to beat that horse and until it's dead. You know, they just want all the money they can get out of it.
So I do agree with that. But I will say, like, Harry... So first off, the only thing I will say about Gossip Girl is what they're wanting to do with Harry Potter is, like, a whole remake. Like, they're wanting to do a retold story where it's literally the same characters but different actors. Gossip Girl, it is taking place in the same universe, at least.
But it's not. It's, like, a different story. You are, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But so I will say that.
Exact, like, same thing.
Yeah, I will give it that. Like, it is a little different, and it's still targeted at not our demographic, but the demographic Gossip Girl was whenever the original started for us. So I'll say that. But the other thing is, Harry Potter is getting a whole new generation of fans right now, because, like, it's just spiking in popularity again, with our generation having kids, passing it on, and just other people finding it, liking it, whatever. And then, of course, like, with the Universal in Orlando and everything with the Harry Potter world, I think people are, it's just coming back into popularity again. So I understand they're wanting to expand on that, but the original fans, like our generation, we have been saying for so long what we want more of. We don't want more Harry Potter. We want more of the actual Wizarding World. Like, we want more world building stuff, like what they did with Game of Thrones. They did
series.
Yeah, like, they did a prequel series, and that's what people are wanting. Like, everybody is loving Hogwarts Legacy right now because it has nothing to do with Harry Potter. You only have to be a Harry Potter fan to want to play it and like it, because it's just none of the same characters. Yeah, it's just, like, I like it because I can run around Hogwarts. I can go into classrooms and look at things that they never show in the movies. And, like, I can swim in the Black Lake if I want to. So it's stuff like that. Like, it's world-building type stuff. And everybody has been wanting a Marauder series because that's something that we think would be really cool to see. But something that I didn't even think about really that much was what they mentioned on Harry Potter and the Half-Drunk podcast. And that's the Founder series, where it's just about the founders of Hogwarts. And there is so much that they could do with that. The writers would literally have to know just the basics of Harry Potter, and then they could do whatever they wanted with it, really, because we don't have enough information from what JK had provided on the founders that nobody can say they did anything wrong. Nobody can sit there and critique it and saying that's wrong, that's not how you do that, that's not canon, because we don't know what canon would be since we don't have that content already given to us.
Yeah.
But then now they're also talking about trying to get Daniel, Emma, and Rupert to come back to do a Harry Potter and the Cursed Child movie. Literally, nobody wants that. And they're saying, fans want it. Everybody wants it. This is what they want. Literally, nobody wants this.
That's funny.
It is just so stupid.
I mean, it's a gimmicky thing. People would be interested in it. Not like the diehard Harry Potter fans, but the casual fans. That only know it for those stars. That's what they think of when they think of Harry Potter.
So Daniel Radcliffe, he does not want to come back and do it. So if they did it, then there would most likely be a different Harry Potter. Because he does not want to come back and do it. He even said it's too soon. It's too soon to come back and do this. It's been over 10 years. Like, it's only been over for 10 years since the last movie.
At least he looks older now than he did in the last scene of the movie.
For real, they did him dirty in that.
They did all of them dirty. I was really supposed to believe that Ginny was like a mom. Give me that. Like, get out of here.
For real, but I mean, like, nobody wants that. Emma's apparently on the fence about it. Like, she's done a lot of other things. She's more private. She's
probably the most well-established of anyone.
Yeah, like, I think she has done more reputable work than Daniel has. Because Daniel, he has done a lot of, weird things.
He's been in this TV show for a while that I really like. I can't remember the name of it. And it's
something about isn't it like Kings or something? Like,
okay, so like every season is a different story. And they're like time travelers of sorts. I don't know. They're like every season they're in a different place. Like one season it was like in medieval times, and he was like a king, and the main girl was like a shit pile driver or some shit.
Yeah.
And then in one season they were on, which was the most recent one last year, they were on the Oregon Trail, and it was kind of funny.
That's so really cool.
Yeah, he's really funny in that, because he's got a funny sense of humor. So I do like that show.
I like him in other things. I will say it is hard for me to watch him in other things just because he's still Harry Potter. But I do like him as an actor. I like him as an actor, as a personality. I think he does really good work. I think Emma, she is the one that I think has done a really good job at not relating herself to Hermione so much. I can watch her in other things, and I think that she does really well. Rupert hasn't been in much. He's a dad now. Like,
he's pretty does low his profile. Own
thing. But he actually is on board. Supposedly, he has said that he'll come back and do it. But he also has just recently, in the last few years, I think really since the reunion and stuff, has come out and started talking more about Harry Potter again. And then, of course, Tom Felton had his book just released in December.
I was going to say something, but I can't remember what it was. But yeah, that all, I mean, I think, no, it's not a problem at all. It was just something about Daniel Radcliffe, but something silly, you know.
I will say I would agree that he probably isn't in a very good place to start a big project with Harry Potter again, because his girlfriend is pregnant.
Yes, and I did see that. And they're engaged now, actually.
Okay, yeah, I think I did know that. So yeah, they're pregnant. They're about to start a family. Like, I'm pretty sure he's not going to want to start something as big as Harry Potter, like he knows it's going to be.
Yeah,
but
it's probably, I think that if that's going to be a project at all, which also I mean, I don't know. Daniel Radcliffe doesn't want to have anything to do with J.K. Rowling anymore. Like,
Nobody does. I'm
kind of surprised to hear that Emma Watson does, like, it would be even potentially on board, because I don't know about the others. The only one that I know that is like on her side is I can't remember her name, but the girl that played Luna.
Is she on her side? I didn't think
apparently
she was.
So. Apparently so. She did an interview recently and basically said a bunch of phobic things. I'll just say that.
I'll have to go look at that because I missed that. I know that she has worked a lot with JK over, like, since the Harry Potter series, like with her charity and everything. Like, she's been very involved with all of that stuff with JK.
I will say that the main point that she drove was she just didn't think that it was worth everybody canceling J.K. Rowling. Like, she felt like J.K. Rowling should still be, like, a reputable person and author and everything. Right. And not everybody agrees with that anymore. But, you know, that's...
So, like, I'm not going to comment on... The only thing I'll say is, like, I'm not going to comment on what she posted on social media because I don't have Twitter, so I didn't even see all of that go down. Everything I saw was secondhand.
Yeah, and it's hard to comment on something that you aren't fully educated on.
Like, I don't know enough about what she said online other than, like, what I've read from other people. But I will say, I know a lot of people since then, and maybe even before then, a lot of people comment on her books and how they didn't age well and want to cancel her because of, like, all this stuff. But at the same time, the only, like, thing, like, people are allowed to their own opinion, like what we said with Taylor Swift and everything. The only issue I take with it is people write what they know. If you're not exposed to a lot of cultural things, you're not really going to write from that perspective. And then, two, I hate when people say things don't age well and they start to hate on something just because of that, because it was fine at the time. Nobody had any issues with it at the time. It's only now that people are finding their voices and people feel more comfortable being able to actually say things. And people, I mean, I'm not saying this about Harry Potter, but a lot of times people find something to, like, they find a flaw in something just to have a point in the argument. And I'm not saying that, like, Cho Chang, yeah, like that's a weird name. Like, you kind of, I can see where people get upset with that. Like, that's the only Asian name you could come up with.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I was like, I don't, for the most part, when you point that out, I'm like, okay, I get what you're saying there. I don't necessarily think that her work itself was problematic. I think that, honestly, if anything, a lot of her work is contradictory to her own personal beliefs, because, you know, it's all about, like, standing up for what's right and, you know, not judging people or, like, belittling people based on, like, mm-hmm. things they can't change about themselves. But in her opinion, you know, she, you know, whatever, we don't have to get into that. But, you know, it's just, like, but it's just, so some of it's kind of a little, I don't know, weird to me. But I don't know, for me, it's just, like, I'm probably not going to, like, try, and if she puts out another book, I'm probably not going to go buy it. I'm not going to, like, try and, like, give her more money, but I try not to let it, like, taint my view of, like, the story that I like, and, like, you know, when I watch it, when I rewatch the movies, especially, and stuff like that, because I enjoyed them, and I enjoyed that time in my life. I remember the times when those movies came out. I remember the premieres that I went to and stuff, and it was a fun time for other reasons. And just because the person that provided that fun is actually, you know, not that great of a person, in my opinion, anymore. Like, that's just, that doesn't have to take away all of it for me.
And I feel like that's what that's how most people are looking at this. Like, there's people who I think the way that you and I think, where we can still love this, we can still like it, and just not even associate it with her anymore. But then there's people who they straight up, like, they threw their books out. They don't watch the movies anymore. They don't do anything because it associates with her.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I get that she's always going to make a little money off of it, and I don't necessarily want that. But, yeah, it's just, like, I also just, I still, it makes me sad, but I still, like, to consume content nonetheless. So, I don't know. Maybe that makes me a hypocrite. I'm sorry for that.
I just, like I said, my biggest thing with the or with her writing is just that, like, people try to attack it, and like me, I'm not gonna write about stuff that I don't know, and like maybe it just like she maybe she didn't know a lot of people of color or different ethnicities really growing up, that she didn't have a lot of names to really pick from, or she didn't. Like, she, like, people to this day still say that Hermione could be black because she never actually said she was white. And, like, I was like, I could see that. And
maybe in some people, I think I have seen some people say they pictured her black before, like, the movies came out.
Yeah. Well, and I could also see that, too, because people before the Goblet of Fire, everybody was pronouncing her name, Hermione.
Yeah, or Hermione.
Yeah, or Hermione. And so that's why she put in the Goblet of Fire. Like, she actually spelled it, wrote out the pronunciation in the book. But yeah, so I also think before they do anything else, they've already said that they're not making any more Fantastic Beasts movies, but they at least need to finish the story. Like, JK at least needs to finish writing the books for Fantastic Beasts to finish out the story, because there are so many plot holes that she opened up with that like they need to be closed. Like, you need to finish it however you
want.
Yeah,
it's like the story, the world is going to be tainted if those things are never answered.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, that's what I was telling my dad too, is whatever they do next, like, aside from
They should do Crimes of Grindelwald, the series, if they're going to do a series.
Well, that's what Fantastic Beasts was supposed to be, was...
I know.
The Crimes of Grindelwald. But I think they're trying to distance themselves from that because it just didn't go over well. But a lot of that's their own errors. Like, either JK or whoever were her co-writers, or I don't know. Like, they threw all this stuff in that's not really canon, or it's messing up what is already canon. And like I said, they need to fix all that before they move on to another project. They need to close that, end that, and then do whatever. But whatever happened to the Voldemort series they said they were going to do?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Like, HBO said they were going to do a series, and then they released that it was going to be a Voldemort series, like a prequel of his upbringing. And a lot of people were really excited.
Yeah, they should go back to that. That would be a way cooler idea.
For real. But I will say, so on the podcast, the Harry Potter podcast, they did say that what they are picturing in their heads, if they were to do a founder series, is a lot like the Game of Thrones, where it's very medieval. Like, it's based in that time, like 900 BC or something. I think is what they said, but it's based in that time. It can be very medieval. You can do really well with the CGI, and you have creative freedom to create the world you want, like to create the Wizarding World, pretty much.
Yeah, that's so true.
So I think that's what they need to do.
Well, should we get into some oh shits and oh yes?
Yeah, come down off my soapbox.
You can
go first.
Okay. Well, my oh shit is that I had a super embarrassing moment happen at my event the other day, and I like ate shit. If you notice, like, my arm is all that. Messed up. Yeah. And then also, it's on my knee too. If you look over here, I don't know if you can tell, but my knee's all messed up as well. Anyways, fun times. So, as I mentioned before, I work, I'm an event coordinator for a catering company. And so, a lot of times, our job entails doing, like, a private dinner for the bride and groom. And we were at this venue over the weekend, and it was a very pretty but very dangerous venue. I kept noting everywhere that there were a lot of, like, it had very amazing views of, like, the hill country, but it had a lot of, like, I don't know, step-type areas with, like, a ledge that it would be easy to fall off of with no railing or anything. And I had, like, been taking a mental note of them because I didn't want to fall. But then I was setting up this private dinner, and there was one behind me that I just didn't realize about. And I just took a step back too far, and I fell off a ledge. Yeah, like, in front of my bride and groom, I, like, fell on the ground, like, hurt myself. They were, like, so afraid I was more injured. Honestly, I'm so lucky, because the entire thing was, like, cobblestone. I definitely could have, like, cracked my head open and died. But instead, my dress just came up in front of them, and I, like, ate shit, and I was, like, bleeding. And then I just ran out of there as quickly as possible. I was just so embarrassed. I was, like, top five most embarrassing moments of my life. So
I'm glad you're okay.
Thanks.
Like, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. But yeah, I'm surviving. So, you know. And then I don't know exactly what my oh yeah is. Honestly, it's just like, I guess my oh yeah is just the excitement of being able to start getting into the house, because now that we're getting in there, it's the part where I've been starting to, like, buy things for the new house, like buying things for Claire's playroom, and we bought her a new floor bed. It's like a house, so very excited about that. She got a little teepee, that's really cute. Table and chairs, getting a new little couch thing, all sorts of stuff. So yeah, I'm really excited. I just like just get to decorate my new home. So yeah.
Yeah, I've been wanting to redo Jenny's room a bit, because she has a teepee and I want to set it up in her room and kind of redo her little reading area, so it's more like with the teepee. And Jake and I have always looked at doing a floor bed. Like, we did the mattress on the floor for a while, but we wanted to do a floor bed and have Jake make one, because he did make one for a friend of ours and we really liked it.
Yeah, but it was nice.
Yeah, but then we kind of started talking, like, what if we did one that didn't have a gate? What if we did, like, an actual, almost kind of like what y'all bought for Claire? Thought about him making something more like that. But we just kind of said that if we were going to do anything, it would have to have the gate to close off like a crib, because we're just not ready for her to just be able to get up and roam about her room with, like, in the middle of the night. We're just not ready for her to have to do that.
I don't, well, so for me, one thing is she's starting to climb more, so, like, pretty soon she's going to be able to climb out of her crib regardless, and I feel like that's way more dangerous. I don't want her trying to climb up there and then get stuck and fall, because, yeah, I just don't think that's a good situation. But also, we plan on basically baby-proofing her entire room so that it is possible for her to, like, get out. I'm not necessarily worried about her getting up in the middle of the night, because she's a really good sleeper, pretty much anywhere she goes. Yeah. But I actually wouldn't mind her, like, if she gets up before I do in the morning and she, like, wants to play with her stuffed animals, you know, so it'll be right there, and then the dresser will be anchored to the wall, and, you know, so on and so forth, so there's nothing in there that she can really get hurt from. And then I'll have a camera in there also, like I do now, so I can kind of check on her.
Thing, so Jenny's room, it's not fully baby proof, but I mean, it's baby proof enough that, like, sometimes I'll leave her in her room to play. If I need to do something downstairs, and I'll just watch her on the baby monitor. But we actually had to move her crib away from the wall a little bit, because she has, like, she noticed the core, like, the
stuff. Oh, I've been having camera. To fight her on that too, and I want to get it away from her for the same reason.
Yeah, like, that's another thing, is if she's able to move around, like, even if we were to cover, like, she could pull the thing out of the wall, the block out of the wall to unplug the camera. But even if we covered that up and stuff, the cover for the cord that sticks to the wall, it doesn't stick to the wall anymore because she's pulled it off. And, like, we've found her during nap time, like, if she wakes up or whatever, we have found her playing with the cover in her crib.
Oh, gosh. The cord. I'll just send you the ones that have the covers that I've gotten, because I've had no problems with them coming off the wall or anything.
Are your wall texture?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
We had it zip tied, but we had it zip tied to the crib. But in the new house, we're gonna use, like, gaffing tape, like Chris's from like theater or whatever, you know, where they like to put cords down and stuff like that. And we're just going to put it like in the corner up the wall, and it's going to be like in the catty corner of the wall, like looking down on the room. So she won't be able to get to it.
Yeah. I think at some point we'll redo her room. I just don't know how I'm going to, like, where I'd put the crib and where I'd put the rocking chair and everything, just because of like where her windows are.
Yeah.
I don't know where we'd put everything, but I'm excited to see what you do with Claire's room.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm nervous because it is a lot of like change for her at once, like going from like a crib to a toddler bed. And then we're also going to start potty training soon. But I'm excited at the same time because I think it'll be really good for her, and just like the move in general. Because one thing that I think that is hindered a lot by our current place is like her ability to have some independence and like be able to like learn about how the house works and stuff like that. Not that I want her getting into things, because we have everything like really baby proofed, but you know, she just like is stuck in the living room basically because the rest of the house is not safe. And I want her to be able to, you know, just be more independent and whatnot. So I'm excited for that. And
yeah.
What about you? What is your oh shit? No, yes.
So my oh shit is that I've been applying for new jobs for Jake. Yes, I've been applying for Jake.
Is he working?
Yeah, he's still working. He just needs to make more money because all the bills are pretty much going up with like the beginning of the new year. Everything's just gone up and gotten more expensive. And you can't really refinance anything right now because interest rates are really bad. And we did talk to the bank today about refinancing his truck. And he's not really getting a better rate, but they're looking to see if they can just extend the term of his truck, and so that he'll have a lower monthly payment. That's really what he needs, and then like we can just pay more to principal if we want, like if we have the extra money. But he's just not making enough to really help cover a lot of the bills. And I mean, majority of our bills are my student loans. I mean, I cover all of those, but I'm really trying. I have one that I could pay off fairly soon, maybe not within this year, but hopefully fairly soon. And then if I work at TLU for like another 4 or 5 years, then I should qualify to have have at least like $20,000
forgiven.
Yeah. So that's my other shit, is that I've been every day just looking online and applying to jobs. And he has a place that I've never heard of or been to, but Jake said that he's heard of it. But they reached out to him and said that they wanted to give him an interview. So I told him that we need to move forward with that. And at least he needs to go, like, look at the place, interview, see what it's all about, see if he likes it, because it's really good money. And it's not an overnight job, which, like, that's what he said he doesn't want, is he doesn't want to work at a 24-hour restaurant again. So, trying to move on that. But my oh yeah is that, I don't know, Jenny's, it's kind of an oh shit too, but I mean, it's an oh yeah, like, Jenny is talking more and more, she's running, like, she's just everything. Like, it's really awesome, like, to see her developing, but at the same time, it's like, she's growing up so much, like, she knows body parts, she knows animal noises, we're starting to learn on colors, and she's doing really good with her sign language. She said her first sentence yesterday, which was, more please, and, like, I didn't have to tell her to say it, I didn't have to break it down, and she even signed the right signs when she said it, too. Nice. And I looked at Jake and I was like, that was her first sentence all by herself.
That's cute.
So it's like an oh shit and a no yeah, but it's really cool just to kind of watch her learning all this. And yeah, her favorite animal noise is a cow. And the other night, I think it was last night, I asked her, like, I asked her what noises certain animals make, and she got three in a row correct without saying moo for anything other than a cow. That's usually how it goes.
They all say moo. I know Claire does that too.
But yeah, she did cow, duck, and dog all correctly. No help needed. And then after that, I asked her about a chicken, and she went back to moo.
That's funny. Every time Claire sees a dog, she goes, woof, 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 woof. She like points. It's cute.
That's super cute. Yeah, right now, so Jenny is doing a lot of pointing and like asking like what things are. So we're trying to help her with that, but her two new favorite words right now are puppy and happy, and they sound exactly alike. So sometimes we have to sit there and kind of use context clues or just guess on what she's saying, like, oh, you see your puppy? Oh, do puffs make you happy? Like,
it's funny.
But yeah, so those are her big words right now. It's super cute.
Cool.
But I also, before we go, I did want to say that we're kind of out of our learning stage.
Or at least, like, the bulk of, like, the learning how to mom. I think that we learn something new all the time, but it's just not on the same level as we were learning before, constantly something new every day.
Yeah, like, we're still learning on the job, but now that their milestones have kind of slowed down a little bit, and, like, we were saying before, is like our day-to-day is pretty much set, like we know how to mom. I think we're gonna start doing some more different mom content where it's more of what we're interested in, not necessarily toddler related or mom advice kind of related. It's more of
here's two moms talking.
Like who we are now, trying to figure out how to have fun again without our kids and do stuff. How to go to
Taylor Swift concerts in your 30s and...
yeah. Rant about Harry Potter shit that you liked whenever you were 7.
Yeah.
So, if you have any ideas or any suggestions of any other content you'd like to hear from us, things that you want us to chat about, things you would like our opinions on, because Cora and I definitely have a lot of opinions on things.
For sure.
Let us know. We'll post something on Instagram, but let us know what you'd like to hear, and we'll start doing a few episodes here and there of content of just us talking.
Yeah. So you can send all that information to the usual social. So it's going to be at Learning on the Job Moms on Instagram, TikTok. You can email us at learningonthejobmoms@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. So, you know, however you want to get a hold of us, we are more than likely available. So reach out.
Yeah. We hope you have a fantastic day, and we'll talk to y'all next time.
Bye.